Usually during this time slot, which unfortunately we continue to be observing every year, I try to say words about Geula and redemption and what the future will hold. One year I think we spoke about what bracha will make when Mashiach comes, things like that. So I want to talk about tonight about what our sages say about what Tisha B'Av will look like in the future. We know from the Psukim, we know from the Midrashim, Kara Laimoed, that in the future Tisha B'Av is going to be a Yontif. So what's that Yontif going to look like practically? At the end of the day, how are we going to observe that Yontif? And what should we be looking forward to towards the Chag of Tisha B'Av when that time does come? You'll forgive me for unbuttoning my tie. It was a long day, so you'll forgive me. The pasuk in Zechariah says, "Ko amar Hashem tzvako, so says Hashem, tzoma raviyah, tzoma chamishu, tzoma shri, tzoma asiri, yelevesu, yelesasun simcha." The fast that will occur on the 4th, the 5th, the 7th, and the 10th will be a day of Yontif for Yehuda, will be a day of Yontif for Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara Megillah tells us that, essentially, these days will become Yom Tovim. There'll be new days for Jews to tell, in the future, their Jewish employers that they will not be coming into work, because these will be Yom Tovim on the calendar. We'll have to define what that Yom Tov will look like in a moment, but it'll be days of Yom Tovim. And this is Paskin LaHalacha by the Rambam, in the end of Hilchos Tainius, Kol HaTzomos HaElu Asidim Livata Limos HaMashiach. All of these fast days will no longer exist when Mashiach comes. They will be days of great rejoicing for the Jewish people. The Shla Kadosh writes in Maseches Tainus that in the future Tisha B'Av will become a Moed Gadol. Not just a Moed, but a big Yontif. And just like it's the most severe fast day, it will become the greatest day of Simcha as well in the future. We're trying. We're working on it. That's what he says. So the Shla writes again in Parshas Balak. And Parshas Balak is talking about klala, curses that turn into bracha. So the Shla says, let me tell you about curses that turn into bracha. Ki haklala atzma nesafech lebracha. Every klala will turn into a bracha. V'chorban beis hamigdashi binyano. The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is, in fact, its rebuilding. Ki chorban Beis HaMikdash gorim liyosim tam avonecha bas tzion. The chorban wipes out many of the sins. V'az yibana Beis HaMikdash ha-gadol shubinyan Beis HaLam menischim. It will lead to a building of the Beis HaMikdash that will be forever and ever. Al kei noagim kavod b'chorbano k'mo shiyu noagim b'yushuvo. And that's why we give kavod to the day. Says the Shla. The reason in Pashup Shat why Tisha B'Av is a Yontif, so to speak, is a Moed right now, is because really it's a destruction that leads to building. And there is hope within the day right now. Ki achorban sibas hayushav amitiv yal derech ditznan, it says in Shabbos, hasoser almanas listo, right? To build, to destroy, on condition to build in the future. So Maravi Tzoma Chamishi Yel Lebeis Yehuda Sasson L'Simcha V'Yalzeh B'Haremez B'Torah. He says, look at Aaron's words. What a beautiful pshat. Aaron told Bnei Yisrael, when they wanted to build the Egel, Chag L'Hashem Machar. It will be a Chag for Hashem tomorrow. Right? So the Pashup Pshat is, he was trying to push them off. Maybe Moshe will come back. Aaron was saying, Chag L'Hashem Machar. Right now, this day is a travesty. But in the future, Machar, and way off, this day, Shavuos Arba Tammuz, is going to be a Chag for Hashem. V'yesh machar shu l'achar zman. V'remez ki l'asid yatzom ha-revi l'chag l'sasun l'simcha. V'tisha b'av nikra moed. Tisha b'av is a moed as well. And this is the pshat over here. Says the Shla, all these days are going to be days of simcha. Built within the fabric of these fast days are days of great rejoicing that will come in the future. The kesher between the first day of Pesach and Tisha B'av is as the Shla goes on to discuss, is already found in a medrash. The medrash in Eicha says, Haspieni bamrurim, that I have been satiated with maror, with bitterness. Zeyom tov harishin shal Pesach, says the medrash. This is the first day of Pesach. Tichsiv al matzah sumorim. Harvani la'ana mashi hisbani b'leil yantav harishin shal Pesach. I have filled up with maror on the first night of Pesach. Hervani b'leil Tisha B'Av la'ana. It will also be on Tisha B'Av of that year. Havei leil yantav harishin shal Pesach. We know from our calendar, the Medrash already knows this from 2,000 years ago. We already know from our calendar that whatever day of the week the first night of Pesach will fall out on will also be the first day, will also be that day of the week for Tisha B'Av. This is Paslan Lahalacha in Shulchan Aruch, says the Rama. We know that we need to have two cooked foods that are zecher, one for the Korban Pesach, one for the Korban Chagiga. So we have the shank bone, the zroa, for the Korban Pesach. But what cooked food do we use for the Korban Chagiga? The egg. Why an egg? Why not something else? Why not a Pesachic muffin? Why not? Why does that have to be the cooked food? So says the Rama, because the same night of Pesach, the night of the Seder will always be the same night that Tisha B'av will fall out on that day of the week for that year. And therefore, as we sit down to the Pesach Seder, we remind ourselves that we're not doing the whole thing. It's a nice Seder, and the children are adorable, and Manashtan is great, and everything is fantastic. But we still have a Choron Beis HaMikdash that's going to be on this same night of the week in a few months from now. And that's the connection. Within the Chorban, says the Shla, is already the rebuilding of what's going to be in the future. There are many applications, Lamaisa, today we just observed, of Kara Alai Moed, that today is a Yantif. No Tachanun, there's about six or seven, we've discussed this in the past. Nafgamin is that today being called a Shem Yantif, Tachanun being the most significant of them. But that's a shiur that we've discussed already, so we're not going to get into it now. We want to talk about Hilchasa de Mashiach, what's going to be when Mashiach comes. The Levush has a beautiful comment. The Levush here in the Laws of Tisha B'Av, in Siman Tuf Kuf Nun Tes, asks a very strong question. He says, Kol Yamai Tamesi Kim Shinogim Likros Eicha B'Tzibor Ulevarach Al V'Mikra Megillah. So he says, in days of the Levush, they read Eicha B'Tzibor, and they made a brach of Mikra Megillah. Fine, we don't do that. Madu Lo Nagu Be'Eicha K'Bob Megillah L'Chsov Osa'a Klaf B'Sefer B'Fnei Atzmo. Why don't we have a Megillas Eicha? Why don't we read from a klaf? That would be the right thing to do. Kedin kol asvarim shesrichim nesesedem yidei chavasim betzibur, where there's a mitzvah to do a betzibur. Now again, we don't paskin like the Levush here, but in theory, if there's a mitzvah to do a betzibur, like Megillas Esther, you should do it from a klaf. Below dami l'shir shim v'ruach v'kohelas, not like shir shim v'ruach v'kohelas, t'sharnihem einam ragim l'krosim b'shat, ala kol yachar v'yachar krob b'fnaso. In the days of the Levush, each person would just pick up Shir Hashirim, Ruas, and Kohelas and read it by themselves in shul, but it wasn't read on behalf of you in shul. So he says, Mash'ein kim be'echa. Echa, we have a shas, we have a person who reads it on behalf of us for the kal. V'lama karno so mitochu mashirin ha'nidbasim. Why do we read it from a print? V'lo nechtava behilchos svar mitzarachim. So listen to what the Shla says. Listen to what the Levush says. The Efshar. Shenagu came b'fnei shelo haya matzoi lahem b'fnei hascha sofrim lo nahagu l'chosam. The reason is because sofrim don't write Megillah Eichas. Mishum she'anu mechakim metzapim b'chol yom she'afech lanu yom zeh l'sasum l'simcha moed. Because we hope every single day that we're not going to have Tisha B'Av next year. B'im hayu kosim Megillas Eicha hayu nirin k'mayashin min hagu l'chas l'shon. And if we had a klaf of a beautifully written Megillas Eicha, it would look like we're in this for the long haul. And therefore, that's why we don't make it. And he says, "Mashein ke Megillas Purim, ki yimei Purim lo yibatelim." We know from the Rambam that Purim is still going to be there when Mashiach comes. And therefore, we read Eicha from this and nothing else, because it shows us that we're not interested in having a Megillas Eicha that will, you know, pass down to your children and your grandchildren. That's not what we do when it comes to the Megillah of Eicha, says the Levush. However, others view Eicha not that it's in the sense that because something's going to be batal, but in fact Eicha is not going to be batal, for according to some opinions. The Sefer Imrei Tzadikim records.
Do it that way.
What?
The reason we don't do it, the reason that we don't read from a cloth and make a brush is because we don't want to cast it down. So why did they do it in the past?
Meaning, how come nowadays?
Huh?
Meaning what? No, yeah, so reading with a bracha doesn't mean that there's going to be a klaf. They said they didn't read it with a klaf, they just wrote with a bracha. That was the meaning by the Levush. So the Sefer Imrei Tzadikim records from Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev that in the days of Mashiach and the rebuilding of the third Beis HaMikdash, we will read Eicha. It's not going to be batal. He says, no, we should read Eicha even when Mashiach comes, and we're going to say with a Shachianu, but we're going to read Eicha with a different tune, and we're going to put the stops in a different place. Eicha contains within it all of the messages of the Gula. You just have to know where to stop. And he says, L'mashal, as follows. Eicha yashva badad ha'ir. In the past, the city of Yerushalayim sat in Chorban, and it sat alone. Rabasiyam, but now, the nation is great. Haisa kalmana. In the past, she was a widow. But now Rabasi Vagoyim Sarasi Bamadinos Hai Salamas. But now it's so chashuv that the nations give it taxes and gifts. Bachu Tivka Balaila Vidimasa Alachya. In the past Yerushalayim cried with tears streaming down its face. Ein Lamenachem. But now Ein, meaning the one Miayin Yavo Ezri, the Ein Sof, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, who's called Ein, is the one who's Menachem her and everything is okay. So says Rav Levi Yitzchak, Eicha, we're still going to have Eicha, but we're just going to read it differently, because within the Churban already contains the messages of the Geula. Rav Tzadok HaKohen says the same thing in the Pri Tzadok in Parshas Devarim, last week's Parsha. He says, V'im shebe'emes as gam kein hayukarim megillas Eicha. We will read Eicha. V'chein la'asid gam kein lo yisbatzal megillas Eicha. Shehu michaf dalad svarim. V'heim lo'ol me'ad. It will be there forever. This is obviously a kasha on the Gemara, and the Rambam who say that only Purim and Megillah will stay, but Rav Tzadok says differently. Achazi Yelahem Perush Ach, it will have a different explanation. Masha Yamor Al Tovos V'Nechamos will talk about goodness and comforting. K'masha Kasub B'Mefarshim L'Pafarshe Pesuka Eicha L'Tova. You can read all the Pesukim of Eicha for good, if you just know where to put the stops in the proper place. Similar comments in the Medrash Eliyahu Reveliyahu Kohen of Izmir, the Yerushalmi in Megillah says that Rabbi Yochanan says in the future, Nach will be Batel. It doesn't mean literally. It doesn't mean Nach will be Batel, that we're not going to learn the Svarim of Nevim and Ksuvim. But rather what it means is the interpretations that we had for Nevim and Ksuvim up until now will be Batel. There'll be new Svarim and new Shirim and Navi, where we're going to have to uproot everything and re-understand everything as we learned it before. And we'll read Eicha Yashav Badad and follow the verses in a positive way, like the Kedushas Levi said. So, I think we probably have all heard of the practice of Tzaddikim, that they would take their kinnis at the end of Tisha B'Av and do what with them? They would put them in Gnizah, right? They would put them in Shemus, because we don't need it for next year. Okay, so I have a very nice printing over here. I'm not going to put this in Gnizah. I don't think I paid for it, but, you know, I'm not going to put it in Gnizah. It's a nice volume. So, am I mechusar amana? Am I lacking in faith? Do I have a lack of bitachon because I put this back in the shelf and because I think I'll use the kinnos next year? What does that say about us if we're not going to put in Gnizah? Are you all lacking a bitachon of the Mashiach coming soon? So I want to suggest three different answers, one of my own, and then two and three from other people. The first is that Rav Huttner has a drush on the Pachad Yitzchak about Purim. Rav Huttner says that the reason why Megillas Esther and the reason why Purim is not going to be Batal is because the Megillah of Esther teaches us the importance of Avodas Hashem when things are dark. Because at the end of the Megillah, things are okay, but they're not great. We're still in Galus, Esther is still in the palace, and we didn't really have a full Geula. And Rav Huttner goes on to explain that there is a value in learning how to serve Hashem when things are not great, when things are dark and things are unclear. So perhaps within the slich, within the kinnis, there's value, there's lessons. Just, I'm saying, even alone, Rabbi Soloveitchik's Divrei Torah are ideas that will stand le'olam vad, how he opened up the kinnis and opened up the beautiful ideas that Rav Ezra Kali, Rav Yudah Levi, and the other Paitanim put in. There's deep and profound Divrei Torah here. So, yes, there still is good Divrei Torah in kinnis, and there are messages that are relevant for us, even when Mashiach comes, about a serving of Kadosh Baruch Hu and relating to Hashem. Perhaps that's one reason why I'm not throwing out my kinnis. Another reason is that, yes, Rav Avraham of Chechanov would throw out his new kinnis every year, but the V'yaged Yaakov, the Rebbe of Papa, would leave for vacation every year on Erev Tisha B'Av, and with no other choice, he would buy kinnis on the day of Tisha B'Av was going to begin. But his son, Rav Yosef of Papa, so he would keep his kinnis. The Vechi Yosef would keep his kinnis, and he'd buy a new one each year. So over time, he had quite a collection of kinnis in his house. So why did he do this? And he explained that when the Geula comes, these kinnis are going to be, not Lamashal, you all know this, go into the drawer, you keep your benchers. You're overflowing with simchas and bar mitzvahs and weddings and all types of sheva brachas that you went to. All those benchers that you can give out to guests, one day you're going to organize them or you're going to give them away, whatever it is you're going to do. All those benchers. Why do you have so many benchers? So when you have guests on Shabbos, you're going to sing Zmiros with them, you're going to share in the Kedusha of Shabbos with them. So says the Vichy Yosef of Papa, I keep my kinnos because when Mashiach comes, I'm going to hand out my zmiros because the kinnos are going to be reinterpreted. There's going to be depth in them. There's going to be shevach hodat HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we were in galus and now we are saved. And therefore, I have a collection so that we'll be able to learn from them and sing from them in the future at a happy time arise for Klal Yisrael. We'll reinterpret them, he says. We'll have a new pshat. We'll reinterpret them. So we'll go with Eitan's question. So there is a beautiful seder of Tikkun Chatzos, the Tehillim and the Parshas that are recited at night by different tzaddikim and people to mourn the loss of the Beis HaMikdash that was published in 1930 in Pressburg. The printer wrote a parish. His name is Rav Ephraim Hillel Kaiser. It's called the Parish Tikkun Leia. So in his Tikkun Chatzos, he has a Hakdama written by his father, Rav Aryeh Leib Kaiser. I'm not sure who his father was, but there, the father has a beautiful idea related to this. And he says that those who throw out their kinnos and think that it's a sign of their bitachon in Hashem, that Mashiach is going to come, he doesn't necessarily agree. He says, you can still have bitachon in Hashem, Mashiach is going to come tomorrow, and still keep your kinnos. Why is that? He says, by the Pesach Seder, we eat marar, even though we were saved. Why? To remind us of the Sheba, to remind us of the slavery. Doing so builds within us feelings of thanks and Hakaras HaTov. Because you can't really express Hakaras HaTov to somebody who helped you unless you express how bad things were beforehand. If somebody gives you a ride and you have a flat tire and you get out of the car and after you're done you say, thanks, have a good Shabbos. So is that thanks? It's not thanks. Thanks is, you know, I was going to be late for a meeting. I didn't know what it was going to be. I thought this was going to be the worst day ever, and you swooped in and saved me. That's amazing. Thank you so much for what you did. When you express thank you to somebody for what they did for you, you have to verbalize how things were not so good before they saved you, because that's a real expression of the Hakaras HaTov. What time is Marv? 8:55? Okay, we'll save, maybe I'll say the mashal right now. Rav Brevda, in his comments on Pesach Haggadah, gives the following idea. He gives the mashal of a young man who survived the Holocaust. His family was wiped out, and he had a wealthy uncle who came, found where he was, brought him to America, fed him, clothed him, raised him, gave him a place to sleep, you know, sent him to yeshiva, gave him a parnasa, helped him with shidduchim, and it comes to the wedding. And they're by the chasna, and they're dancing in a circle, and everything is wonderful, and everybody's besimcha. Everybody knows the story of this kid, of where he came from, still in the ashes and the shadows of the Shoah, and he grabs his uncle, and he pulls him into the middle, and he gives him a hug, and they're dancing, and he says, thank you so much for everything. And then he goes on to like his best friend. Like, that's it. So his uncle's a bit miffed. So after the end of the first dance, the uncle pulls over to the kid and says, that's Hakaras HaTov, thank you for everything. He says, thank you for everything means, uncle, I had nothing, I had no food, I had no clothing, I had no family, I had no education, I had no parnasa, and you took me out of the ashes of Europe, and you built me up, and you gave me a life, and you gave me a parnasa, and you gave me a shidduch, and then you put me here today. And thank you so much for everything you did. That's Hakaras HaTov, when you express where you were beforehand. So we do the same thing by Leil HaSeder. We are maskil b'gnus, and Messiah b'shvach. It's important to begin with where we started from and not just talk about leaving Mitzrayim because it's not a Hakaras HaTov to explain where you were beforehand. So says Rav Aryeh Leib Kaiser, the same thing over here. We will open up these kinnos on Tisha B'Av of Geula and we're going to read about the Beis HaMikdash and the Kohanim and the children of Rabbi Yishmael and the cities of worms and spires and what happened in the different crusades, and all the different realms of Jewish history. And then we're going to say, all of that happened? Thank you so much for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring us to where we are right now. So we will read the kinnoses of Aryeh Leib Kaiser, but we're going to read them in the same way by the Pesach Seder, that we are maskil b'gnus and Messiah b'shvach. Is that a better pshat? That's a better pshat.
Not to me.
Not to you. Eitan's like one either. So we have three pshatim. Either you like them or you don't like them. Those are three pshatim. Okay. Now, when Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, we don't fast on Shabbos, and instead, we observe Tisha B'Av on Sunday, the 10th of Av. So the Gemara in Megillah says that we don't accept the Shita of Rebbe, who wanted to say that when Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, we don't observe Tisha B'Av at all that year, because if it's not on the day, it's not on the day. That's the Shita of Rebbe. We don't pass on like Rebbe. But in the future, when Shita says, ask the Mefarshim, in the future, when Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, when is the Moed going to be? Are you going to have Tisha B'Av Shechalios B'Shabbos on Shabbos, and it's going to be Shabbos on a Yontif, or is it going to be pushed off to the next day? So the Chassam Sofer discusses this in the Toras Moshe and Parshas Dvarim. And he wonders, why is it that when Tisha B'Av does fall on Shabbos, and we observe Tisha B'Av on Sunday, that we don't say Tachnun? Kara alai Moed, says the Chassam Sofer. Is that the Moed? Is that the day? Is that the ninth of Av in the Beis Hamikdash destroyed? No. So why am I not saying Tachnun when it's observed on the 10th? What?
It's Yisruchag.
It's Yisruchag. Maybe. So the Chassam Sofer wants to go, he wants to go in a different Shita. He wants to go in a different Shita. So he says that the Moed... It's true. It's true. That's a good point. Akasha. So he says the Moed is not only the ninth of Av. He says, look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Kikor Mar Shem Svakos, Tzom Revi, Tzom Echemishi, Tzom Ashvi, Tzom Asiri. It lists the months, says the Chassam Sofer. It doesn't list the days. There's something about the month and not the days. The Pasuk doesn't give the actual date. Instead, that there's a Tzom in that month. And therefore, the Chassam Sofer learns that the day is now established as the Moed. The Tzom is what makes the Moed. When you fast in that month, in commemoration of that event, that day becomes the Moed. And therefore, if Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, we fast on the 10th of Av. And we don't say Tachanun. And therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, then the extension of that is that when Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, Ba'asid Lavo, the Yontif will be on Sunday, because it gets pushed off. And we're going to have Shabbos, and then Yontif, I mean, it's going to be, Erev Yontif is going to be Shabbos, he says. L'kashiyibana beis ha-migdash v'yichol Tisha B'Av b'Shabbos, v'yom ha-soson v'amoid gam kin b'yom alf sh'achar, will also be on Sunday. B'yom shu'tzamim, the day which we would have fasted. The Kovetz HaMoedim, which is put out by Moria, which is the publishing house, so it has a Kovetz on Chanukah Purim in the Tanyos. So there it has ksavim, different writings from different Gedolim of Yerushalayim. So one of the great Gedolim of Yerushalayim is Rav Shmuel Haminer. So Shmuel Haminer wrote the Kitzur Shmiras HaLashon, the Chavetz Chaim, the Sefer HaBitachon, a lot of beautiful differences from the Olas Tamid on Tefillah. So he has a question. He is unsure how the Moed is going to be defined in the future. Is it going to be a Moed like Purim, or is it going to be a Moed like the Shalosh Regalim? The Nafkamina is, if the Sudas Yantav is going to fall on Shabbos, like the Sam Sofer said. If it's going to be treated like the Shalosh Regalim, then the Yontif and Shabbos is going to exist as one. Just like you have Shavuos on Shabbos, and Pesach on Shabbos, and Sukkot on Shabbos. What's the difference? Shabbos and Yontif fall together all the time. Not an issue. But if it's like Purim, do we have the Sudas Purim on Shabbos? No, we have the Sudas Purim the next day afterwards. So what are we going to do? So he cites the Nachal Eshkol. The Nachal Eshkol is the Perush on the Sefer HaEshkol. The Sefer HaEshkol is one of the Rishonim. There's a bit of controversy about whose Sefer HaEshkol is correct. There's two different girsos. One claims the other one is a forgery in some form. But the one who wrote the one that's controversial wrote a perush called the Nachal Eshkol. So the Nachal Eshkol says that the Yerushalmi Megillah explains that we don't have Sudas Purim on Shabbos because Sudas Purim needs to be Yimei Mishta V'Simcha. And if I have a Sudas Purim on Shabbos, is it clear to anybody that I'm doing anything different? I also have a Sudas Purim. Some people have more Labedic Sudas Purim than other people. But nevertheless, it's also Sudas Purim. So the reason why we can't have Sudas Purim on Shabbos is because I need to have a day that shows me I'm having a special day, not just piggybacking off of Shabbos. So if we simply have Sudas Purim on Shabbos, then it won't be nicker what's going on. So therefore, he says in the future, when Tisha B'Av will be a Moed, the Suda may have to be pushed off until Sunday, like the Chassam Sofer says. Because if I just have the Suda of Tisha B'Av on Shabbos, how am I going to know it's special? How am I going to know that it's Karalai Moed, a different type of day? And therefore he wants to argue that the Suda is going to be on Sunday. That's how it's going to come out. The Gemara in Becharos Daf Ches has the famous conversations of the Sabe de Be'asuna, the conversations of the wise men of Athens and Rabbi Yeshua. So one of the weird things they did in these odd conversations is they brought him two eggs. And they said, which is the egg of the black hen and which is the egg of the white hen? I have two eggs, so they look the same. How do I know if one is an egg that came from a black hen or the one that came from a white hen? So Rabbi Yeshua goes on to give an odd answer to their odd question, but that's not for right now. So the Maharsha explains what's going on in this conversation. The Maharsha says that the previous Gemara taught us, this in Bechoros, was talking about the gestation of different animals. So the Gemara says that an egg takes 21 days to hatch. This corresponds, says the Maharsha, to the 21 days from Rosh Hashanah to Hoshana Rabbah. That's the white egg. But the black, not the white egg, the egg that comes from the black hen. But the egg that comes from the white hen, sorry, that's the egg that comes from the white hen. The egg that comes from the black hen is the egg that corresponds to the 21 days of Bein HaMetzarim from Shavuos Arba Tammuz to Tisha B'Av. And says the Maharsha, just like the 21 days from Rosh Hashanah to Hoshana Rabbah whiten a person and bring kapara, and that's through a sense of simcha, so too the 21 days of Shavuos Arba Tammuz until Tisha B'Av also bring kapara, because the tsaros and yusurim, the difficulties of the Bein HaMetzarim, also bring kapara to a person. That within those, there's already a comparison between the Yemei Simcha of Tishrei and corresponding to the Yemei Avelus of this time period. The Maor B'Shemesh and Parshas Pinchas says that as well. The 21 days of Tishrei are like Bein HaMetzarim. They both accomplish things for a person. However, one is Behester, one is hidden, and one is Benigla, one is open. Rav Aaron of Zitimir, who was a Talmud of the Kedusha Slevi, so he writes in the Toldos Aaron Parshas Pinchas that the 17th of Tammuz will be a Yantif, because that's the day Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come and announce Mashiach. And the Gemara in Tanis Chachasim Abay says that in Galus there are 21 days in which we say Hallel. In Eretz Yisrael there are 18. We have 3 days for Yom Tov Shel Galus. So he goes on to say that when Mashiach comes, there will also be 21 days of Hallel that we say everywhere. And he says because they're going to pick up 3 days from the days of the Tzomos. He has a whole chesh about which one's not going to make it in, but he says those days will become days of Hallel as well in the future. And he goes on to say that every single month when Mashiach comes is going to have a Yontif. Every single month is going to have a full day of Yontif. In Nisan, there's going to be Pesach. In Iyar, there's going to be Pesach Sheni. In Sivan, there's going to be Matan Torah. And Tammuz, there's going to be Shavuos Arba Tammuz. In Av, there's going to be Tisha B'Av. In El, there's going to be Rosh Hashanah for Meiser Behema. In Tishrei, there's going to be Sukkot and Yom Kippur. He says in Cheshvan, there's going to be the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, as the Bnei Yisrael writes. In Kislev will be Chanukah. Asara B'Tevis will be a Yontif. And Tu B'Shvat, and then Purim in Adar. Every single month is going to have a full Yontif. The Imrei Pinchas says in the name of the Kedusha Slevi that in the future, Shavuos Arba Tammuz will be the first day of Yontif. The Bein HaMetzarim will be Chol HaMoed. And Tishrei B'Av will be the last day of Yontif. Nechozev Lublin is quoted in the Sefer Sichasun Shal Ovdei Avos. He would describe how we saw in the future that we would sit around the Yontif table on Tisha B'Av. We would have the Seder of Tisha B'Av like we have the Seder of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We would be singing Hallel in the future on Tisha B'Av and declaring Vati Tein Lanu Es Yom HaChag HaTisha B'Av Hazah, that it should be like this in the future. Rav Naftali of Rabchitz writes in the Zera Kadosh and Parshas Devarim that all of the Shalosh Regalim have 7 days, including the Yemei Meluim of Shavuos. And this equals 21 days total. 7 times 3 is 21. And when Tisha B'Av becomes a Yontif, says Rav Naftali of Rabchitz, there will be 22 days of Simcha on par with the Regalim. And he said this is hinted to in the Pasuk of Nagila V'Nismecha Bach, Gematria Chaf Beis 22, that those days will also be days of Simcha, just like Yontif. I just want to end with a beautiful vort that the Rebbes of Rizhin noted. Then you look in the Parshios by Parshas Pinchas. Open up a Chumash after we're done. Look at the Parshios by Parshas Pinchas that goes to the Moedim. So you'll note that each and every Moed, even the Chol HaMoed, all the different days of the Moed, are written up in Parshios Stumos. Between each Yontif, there's a break of letters, and it's Sasa, meaning it doesn't start at the end of the next line. It continues. It's blocked in. The break between each Parsha, between each Yontif, is blocked in with letters on each side. However, when you go to the section from Shavuos until Rosh Hashanah, it's Psuchos. It ends open at the end of the line, and then it starts at the beginning of the next line. So say the Rebbe's revision. Why is that? So they explain, because between Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah, The calendar is open for a new Yantif. It's waiting. It's psucha. It's open. There's an opportunity open there for a new Yantif, which should be the Yantif of Tisha B'Av Ba'asid Lavo. We should hopefully inspire within us feelings of what we should inspire to see, of what will be in the future, to give us sense of geula, of shlemus, of the coming of Mashiach, Yiratzon, that we should merit to see a moed in a Yantif Gadol. Okay?